Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Don't sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
What do you think of Phillips' timeline of the contracts?
It makes sense, right? I mean, I think that not that you're going to be rebuilding at that point, but you do want to be in a situation where you reload with your veterans. And we know about the Van Vliet and the Brooks deals, and at the time they had to get them done, they basically had a ton of money to play with, and we knew that there was a really desperate need to get some leadership in that locker room. You assume at that next threshold point, it makes a lot of sense that if you have three guys making a boatload of money and you've got your young guys ready for extensions, that you want to time it up correctly, and that's just good business in the NBA.
That's why I don't really hate trading Jalen Green as the Jalen Green defender of the show. Like, you're going to have to – like, he's making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a long-term contract. So, like, a decision's coming on that eventually, whether or not you want to extend him long-term as well. He's got a big raise for this first contract after, like, his rookie contract to where he's probably going to want the max, too.
Oh, yeah.
So – do you think that Jalen Green's a max player? If you don't, okay, well, then is including him in a trade for Kevin Durant the worst thing in the world?
Well, but my rebuttal to that would be, I don't disagree with you, and I've said that I think they should move Jalen Green. I don't think they should give him away, but I would like to believe that there are other options for you to consider besides Kevin Durant at 35, because I think everything you said is accurate. It just doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't have to be Kevin Durant. It could be someone else that kind of fits your timeline better or has the potential to be more of a max type player for you for the foreseeable future, whether that's immediately or down the road.
Well, it can't be too far down the road.
I get it, but at the same time, look, I think one, and again, the off the floor is going to come into play too, but if Memphis is willing to, if they're looking to rebuild, if they're looking to just press the reset button, and they're not going to re-sign Ja and Jaren Jackson Jr., and they want to get rid of them, and you could give them a guy to rebuild around like Jalen Green, and you could get a Ja Morant who has the star qualities, who can take over games, who your biggest concern with is what's going on off the floor, then that's something that you could consider as well.
Now, is he available, or are they building around him?
See, I don't know, and I hope someone asks the questions today when they announce the Bane trade and they get the general manager, because there's two different camps out there of the people, the talking heads that talk NBA, about is Memphis going in full rebuild mode now and just trying to start over? If they are, then you don't have to focus just on Kevin Durant, because we don't know from day to day, let alone in this offseason, what teams are willing to part with guys that are more proven.
No, you need to be kicking the tires on everything. I agree. And I would be more intrigued with that tire than the Kevin Durant tire, no doubt. The only counterpoint I would have is you can't create who's available to you.
Right.
You can only operate with who is available to you. Now, if Jaw's available, okay, that makes way more sense. If he's not available and Kevin Durant's all that would qualify as like that tier of player, I mean, ultimately you're going to have to, you know, or get off the pot.
Right, and that's where when you get down to it, too, you have to be from a Rockets perspective. After 2 years, can I survive this? And can I still find a way to either keep building and keep the guys that I have?
Yeah.
Or is that where I find another crossroads where I have to do it differently? The other name that's out there, which doesn't interest me at all, like Ja would, is Trae Young. Trae Young, supposedly Atlanta is willing to talk and consider shopping him. Trae Young, to me, is a guy that's just a high-volume shooter that I don't think does enough and doesn't fit what you're trying to build, especially with Ime and the way he wants to play defense and do things. I don't think Trae's a fit here.
B. Hannon says, want nothing to do with jaw. Another texture, don't want jaw, don't want the headache. And I'm sure Ime doesn't want the headache either. Another texture says jaw would be a great move. So a little divisive on the jaw thing. I mean, first and foremost, is he available would have to be the thing. I think jaw's a fun talent. I think it would be an upgrade for sure. A texture, that's what it is. He don't want to live in Minnesota. Houston and Miami, he's like, yes. He thinks San Antonio's already out, the texture does. Another texture, Phillip. Would rather keep Jabari over Jalen Green? Question mark. Ridiculous. I don't think he's calling Jabari better than Jalen. I think he views the team makeup better with Jabari versus Jalen.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think that you and I think are on the same page. I don't want to give up both of them in the deal.
No.
I think I'm fine in the right deal, Jalen Green going. I've seen enough of Jalen Green where I don't believe he's going to be a max player. I don't believe he's going to be the best player or one of the two or three best players on this team if this team is truly expected to take it to the next level. So with that being said, I'm okay trading Jalen. I'm just a little leery of trading Jalen for 2 years, 3 years of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, same. Pete, can you imagine what it would be like if Durant goes to San Antonio? Barkley's going to have a field day telling KD to eat churros to fatten up. Number 10 pick, Shepherd and Cam for Kevin Durant. That wouldn't work salary-wise. Yeah. Corey says you have to make the contracts work as well. Yes, you do. That's why one of Dylan and Fred VanVleet would have to be included. Right. I don't think you can make this trade without one of their contracts. Like Jalen, Jock, even if you do like a sign-and-trade with some of these guys, I'm pretty confident that one of those guys would have to be included.
Yeah, because Fred, they're constantly talking about the option and or whether they're going to try and do a deal that's more team-friendly for him to stay or if they truly are going to move him to make that deal something that makes sense for a trade purposes. You're right. The money has to be within 15%.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, you don't have enough scrap heap on the bench to make up for all of what Kevin Durant makes.
Bane for four picks was crazy, ludicrous. Have we seen the protections on those picks at all? Are they have we seen if they're unprotected protectors?
I don't think the deal has been officially announced yet, though it was agreed upon. Mm-hmm. But I have not seen the protections. But it is kind of nuts when you think Mikal Bridges warranted five firsts and a swap last year, and now Bane's getting four firsts and a swap this year.
Not every first round pick is the same, though. Like, I think there's a drastic difference. Sure, like, I think picks in the last, like, let's just say they're in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
First round picks in the 20s, I think, are a dime a dozen. Like, I think they're irrelevant. Like, you see a lot of times teams just trade away those picks and don't have to, like, pay the guaranteed salary.
Like, no, the picks in the 20s days are like second round picks of the past.
That's why I need to see the protectors. Like, if they traded four for Bane, but they all have top 15 protections, okay, that's not that much. That's
so
not bad.
So I just looked it up. The 2028 and 2030 picks are unprotected, and the pick swap is a top two protected in 2029.
Shush. So that's not great protection.
No.
Are they all the Magic's picks?
There were four, though.
One of them was one of them was a pick swap between either Phoenix or Washington. So it was a 2026 first-round pick, which includes swap rights with the Phoenix Suns or Washington Wizards. It's 28.
Which could be great.
Yeah, 2028 and 2030 are unprotected, and the pick swap is top two protected in 2029.
But that's three. There should be four first
round
picks.
The other one was the number 16 this year.
Okay, so 16's meh.
Yeah.
The rest are pretty dang lucrative.
But two are completely unprotected.
And those two picks can be?
Those picks were in 28 and 30.
But who do they belong to?
It doesn't say probably here,
Orlando's,
but I think it's Memphis.
Yeah, I think they're Orlando's own.
Oh, they're Orlando's.
Memphis.
Okay.
So Orlando's betting on themselves to be good.
Oh yeah,
and if they're good, that trade's not nearly as bad as it seems.
I mean, you think about just their core five or six. There's a lot of talent there.
Sure.
It depends on what you think of Suggs, but when you talk about Paolo Banchero and Wagner,
yeah,
already to start with, you put Bane in that mix. That's some pretty staunch starters.
That trade is basically 16, two Magic picks. If they're good, they're in the 20s. The only one that's really good is the pick swap with Washington Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that one can be really good. That trade is not as bad as people make it out to seem. Like,
I think it's more so that I don't think people see the value in Bane being that high. But you're also, if you're Memphis, you're trying to pull the Presti, right? If you're going to go full blown pull the plug or get out of something, you're trying to just stockpile picks and then figure out how to package them and or keep them and use them.
Blaine says, I don't think San Antonio's out. Maybe I think Miami and Houston are in play because of no state tax. That's a good point, too. Like, Kevin Durant's going to make, what, $55, $60 million? Mm-hmm. Go to a place that doesn't have state tax for half the games you're playing in.
Yeah.
Saves you a few million, probably.
I don't think San Antonio's out by any stretch of the imagination. The one that's kind of curious to me, I get how Kevin Durant would love to play in Miami. What does Miami really have to offer? Because I don't know that they've been pretty lenient in trading away their picks. I'd have to look at what they have of their own picks and what picks they possess to throw in there.
Like, Ware's been the big name that's been mentioned. Like, Miami doesn't want to keep him. Okay, now they're talking about, like, that's the thing. Like, this whole Kevin Durant saga has been silly season. It has all been silly season.
Yeah, I mean, the main cog that they're trying to move is Wiggins. I don't think if I'm any Phoenix, I want Wiggins.
Well, Phoenix wants Ware. They want Ware, and that's been the big hang-up.
Oh, the young kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, other than that.
According to reports. I shouldn't say that's the – according to reports, that's the hang-up.
Yeah, I don't see that. And even if that deal gets done, he goes to Miami. I don't think they're good enough to compete in the East.
He might not care about being good, though. He might just care about, hey, I'm going to go make $60 million, no state tax. I'm living in Miami. Like, yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world. I would love to live in Miami for a year for $55 million. That'd be a lot of fun. Although, I wouldn't mind Minnesota for $55 million either. I'd do a lot of fishing on the lakes. Those great lakes, they're as big as oceans. 713-780-ESP. Let's get to Mailbag Monday. Oh, what'd you think of Adams, by the way? Well, let's do that in Mailbag Monday. Mailbag Monday, what's your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Killer Bees? First question, well, it's the one we teased. Steven Adams, what did you think of the $39 million three-year deal?
Yeah, I was really pleased with it. Of the guys that they had to deal with in this offseason, I thought he might be the most important, and the guy that I wanted them to go and get him signed, maybe 3 years. Some people is going to question, is that too many years? But I think for what he meant to this team, regular season, one thing. Playoffs, different animal, where he was really big for this team. And they really have a lack of that kind of solid defensive presence and offensive rebounding. I thought it was a big signing for the Rockets.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get priced out. So I do think that the Rockets paid the extra year to get a lower AAV. Like, I think Adams gets more than $13 million a year on the open market, but I don't think he gets the third year. So I think that's where the trade-off was. Okay, Steven Adams, we love you, big fella. We want you here. He obviously liked Houston. Rafael Stone kind of challenged him through the media, like, it takes two to tango. So it proves that Adams wanted to be here, and Adams surrendered a few more bucks per year to get the third year, which I think is a fair trade-off. I like Adams. The third year, we'll see how that goes, but I like him especially at $13 million a year.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think that from a lot of different ways, we don't see, but when we hear about culture and locker room and veteran, the young guys just can't say enough good things about what he does as like big brother and how much he works behind the scenes with the young guys. But it means something more when he goes out on the floor and he actually proves himself with the way he's played for this team. Yeah, that third year might, and I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that when you looked at the open market this year, the Lakers wanted to pursue him. The Clippers were said to have wanted to pursue him. The Warriors wanted to pursue him. You get a couple teams in a bidding war for him, you're right. He's probably going to get 20.
Yeah, I think so too. So yeah, I'll make that trade any day. I get him at 13. I just have to give him the extra year. That's cool with me. It also like aligns when you have to pay like a min and stuff. And then the other thing is Steven Adams, whenever it mattered the most, was easily one of your best five players.
Yes.
Easily one of your best five players. So I like that.
You don't win the Warrior Series without Steven Adams.
We didn't win it.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You don't compete to the level that they competed with when he came in. He made a big difference. You're
I knew
right.
what you meant. You almost don't win it.
Right. Right. You don't get to a seventh game and do. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Dexter, how many pillows do you have on your bed?
Ooh. I use three.
Is that total?
Three total. Your bed, just though? For me. No. Lisa's got.
You use three?
Two or three, yeah.
We have six, sometimes seven pillows on our bed. The seventh one's like the little, like.
Like a foo-foo pillow?
Yeah, you just throw it off immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have three on each side. I only sleep with two, though. I get rid of – I use the third pillow whenever I'm watching TV to kind of keep myself mm-hmm. in a proper angle to watch television. But I only use two to sleep.
See, I use three because of the fact that I use the bigger, like, king-size pillow, like you said, to anchor between the headboard and the other two pillows when you're watching TV and such. But then I rotate the other two pillows, like, middle of the night because they get warm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cooler than the other side of the
pillow.
I like
the cool pillow.
713-780-ESPN. Question for the Bees. How many pillows do you use, Brian?
Two when I'm sleeping. I'll use a third if I'm propping up to watch TV.
Does the wife use two and three?
She uses three.
So you have six on the bed.
Yeah.
And you have six on the bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have six every now and then a cosmetic seventh. It's just when the bed's made up and we want it to look nice, which is not very often.
Same here.
Not very often. I feel like six is the proper answer. Like, if this was Family Feud, how many beds are on the average American household bed?
Yeah.
I think six will be the number one answer.
Six pillows is, I think, the right answer, yes.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Question for the Bees. Sonic has pepperoni pizza bites. Are you in?
No. I'm not in on pizza bites at a Sonic. I'm not in on chicken at a Taco Bell. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If I want something with pizza related, I'm going to primarily a pizza type place. If I want chicken, I'm not going to Taco Bell. I'm going to more of a main serving chicken place.
Yeah, I'm not going to kick any out of bed for crumbs.
I mean, I'll try it once.
Yeah, I would try it once. I have tried the chicken at Taco Bell. I think it was like, throw it into your order again for like $2. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. It was okay. It wasn't, I'll never get it again, but it was fine.
Is it the seasoning they're talking about?
No, it's just like a chicken nugget. Huh. It's just a chicken nugget. It's really no different.
They boast about using real, taco chips in the...
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, in the breading?
I kind of relate it to the Sonic chicken bite thing. That's probably what it's most similar to. I think what sets their chicken apart is the dip.
At Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cheese and whatever.
Yeah, I forget they added a dip for that. I forget what it's called. But, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not awful, but... No, I would try the pepperoni pizza bites. I don't think I would like them, but I would try them.
So I just think that you have options. So if I have options of where I'm going to go, I'm not going to go get pizza bites at Sonic, just like I'm not going to go get chicken at Taco Bell.
Same, yeah. It's more of a throw-in. Oh, you're giving these away for free because you're promoting it?
Yeah, if you're good at Sonic for another reason, like, oh, let's try this one too.
Which, by the way, I don't know why, but Chick-fil-A is doing a three-piece chicken strip because of the Astros for some reason.
Oh, my kids don't like the strips.
You said that's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. I was shocked by this because my kids, and they're like finicky, valley, right? Like, one of them likes McDonald's chicken nuggets better than Chick-fil-A. The other one likes Chick-fil-A better, but they'll take either one. And then they kind of what you were talking about. They threw in some chance to try the chicken strips at Chick-fil-A, and unequivocally, the entire car said no.
So they like the nuggets, but not the strips.
There is something to that. I never get the strips. No, there is something to it. They taste different. The nuggets are far superior. I never get strips at Chick-fil-A. Now, if they're free, give me three, and that's how many they give you in this three count. Thanks for the Astros. So we'll be trying this soon.
Is it a foul pole thing?
No, I don't think so. It says summer calls for chicken. Enjoy this reward from your Houston operators. It has something to do with the Astros, I think.
Three in a row?
I don't know what it is. I have no idea.
It might not be from the Astros thing, because usually, like, when
I saw the Astros tweet about it, though, I think.
Well, that might just because they're a sponsor, though, but I don't know. Like, usually it says in the reward, it says something about the Astros if it's Astros related.
See,
maybe I'm... No, it's the Astros earlier. We have a special offer just for you. Start your day with free Chick-fil-A. From the 16th to the 20th, claim your free three-piece Chick-fil-A chicken strips. But it doesn't say why, but it's the Astros promotion.
I think the Rockets did something like that, too.
Maybe they're just doing it to, like, be like, hey, maybe it's part of their contract.
Yeah, it could be.
I've seen it in our Facebook page where it says, the Rockets did you a favor, go get your three strips from...
Like, I know what you're talking about with the foul pole. Like, you hit the foul pole, you get, like, a free four-piece or five-piece or whatever. But, no, this one's just, like, a random three-piece chicken strip.
Yeah, because the foul pole's got Chick-fil-A advertised.
Yeah, they spell foul wrong. Actually, I mean...
Well, they spell it correctly for the purposes.
Yeah.
But
why I said wrong is because there are other Chick-fil-A sponsors to the foul pole where they spell it F-O-U-L and not
Oh,
yeah. There's inconsistencies with the foul pole. Major League Baseball.
Normally, it's the billboard with the uneducated cow spelling.
I want to say it might be Globe Life. I have to double check. I'll double check later. It's kind of important. What's your favorite carb? Ooh.
Tortilla.
We're going to have that wise guy that says sugar. Mine would be probably French fries.
I was going to say potato-based. Yeah, something potato-based, so it would definitely be French fries.
French fries for me. How many beds are on the bed? Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Joel and I both looked at each other, but we let it go. Yeah.
My bad. It's great. Does McCullers really have a foot, or is his arm broken again? I think it's his foot.
I hope it is.
Who has the worst nuggets? Asked 409 Josh.
Ooh, worst nuggets.
This is he gave what he thinks it is, but I don't want to.
I don't know how many nuggets.
Spoil the conversation.
Burger King.
I've never tried their nuggets.
See, I used to like the chicken fingers, and I think they got rid of them.
Didn't they have nuggets, too, though, at Burger King?
No, they do, yeah.
Yeah, I never have liked the Burger King nuggets.
I used to like the chicken fingers. I wish they would bring those back. I kind of like them.
I think I went through a Burger King recently and saw their chicken nuggets for something like 10 for $1.99. I was like, it can't possibly be that inexpensive, and I passed.
I picked up some Burger King this weekend. What's your Burger King order?
Well, I mean, I've always been... the Whopper's great.
I go to the Texas Double Whopper.
I go Double Cheeseburger.
Texas Double Whopper with the jalapenos and the bacon. Oh, yeah.
I love the flame-grilled.
Yeah, the smoke they get on their burgers is better than... A lot of fast food places.
So, 49 Josh says McDonald's the worst nuggets. Another texture opined, Wendy's and Burger King. I think McDonald's... See, are we eliminating the dip? I think you have to eliminate the dip for this conversation.
I don't... I'm not a big... We had this conversation a week ago. I'm not a big dip for the nuggets guy if the nuggets taste good.
No, but McDonald's, you have to use
McDonald's is like an acquired taste. Because especially when you look at it, you know it. You're not eating like real chicken... Nugget bites.
Well, I mean, none of them are, except for Chick-fil-A, probably.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is.
I would, see, I like the McDonald's nugget with their barbecue sauce, but I don't like the McDonald's nugget by itself.
Same.
If I'm going to eat McDonald's, if I have to eat McDonald's nuggets, it's barbecue sauce.
For sure. I would have to go Burger King, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just go Taco Bell.
McDonald's is the only one I have to try.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay. The Sonic chicken tenders or nugget bites.
Yeah, they're not good.
I can go Sonic.
It's pretty bland, though.
What's the best strips?
Yeah.
Best strips? I'll go Popeyes.
Yeah, Popeyes.
Cane's, you need the dip, though.
Yeah, Cane's is pretty bland without the dip.
I really like the chicken part of the Cane's strips.
So do you dip your Cane's chicken?
No.
It's so bland.
That's the biggest blank take ever.
Okay.
Their chicken is bland.
Their chicken is so bland.
I like the taste of it. I mean, occasionally I can use some barbecue sauce, but for the most part, like I said,
the Cane's sauce is so much better than their chicken.
That is, yeah, I agreed.
I don't really go there for the sauce and the taste.
Everybody loves the sauce, yes.
And so here's my Cane's hack, though, that I've been doing. Because I do like the Cane sauce, no disagreement there. But what I've been doing is I've been getting the 4-count, whatever that thing's called. Is that the box? Or the?
I don't remember.
But half of them, I'll eat two of them with the Cane sauce. But then I'll ask for ketchup in that hot sauce, which is Louisiana hot sauce and Cane's. So I'll put the Louisiana hot sauce in the ketchup and eat two of my fingers that way. So I eat two fingers in that, two fingers in the Cane sauce, which gives you plenty of... Because sometimes you run out of Cane sauce. So if you ask for the ketchup and the hot sauce, you go half of them in that, half of them in the Cane sauce, and it really completes the meal.
Couldn't you just ask for an extra Cane sauce?
Yeah, but it's going to cost you 39 cents, Brian.
Yes.
Also, I like the variety. In fact, I'll even go as far to say that the Louisiana in the ketchup packet is better than the Cane sauce.
Okay, I'll try it.
Coach Stutz was the sauceologist. He was doing all those mixes all the time.
Was he?
He was always talking about mixing this and that to make this better concoction.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that. DQ, the best chicken strips. They're not bad. I dip those in gravy. You dip those in gravy.
That's not bad either.
DQ might be the only place where you dip it in gravy. DQ's underrated, man.
I like DQ, but if I go there, it's usually the steak fingers or the steak sandwich.
Chicken Express strips, hand down. Those are good.
Wait,
good
steak sandwich at Dairy Queen?
Chicken fried steak sandwich is awesome.
Oh, chicken fried steak sandwich.
Yeah.
Chicken Express are very good. I like that place. Jack in the Box, hands down, worst nugget and sauces. You know, I as a fast food connoisseur and one who lives on fast food, which is a habit that's hard to kick once you're addicted to it, I've never had the Jack in the Box nuggets.
Same.
I haven't either. Jack in the Box is always a burger. It's normally like at 2 in the morning.
I don't even get a burger there. I have, but usually don't. Usually I go tacos, egg roll, and the curly.
Tacos hit.
Tacos are very popular late night.
Did you know you could go half curly, half regular fry there?
I did not.
Yeah, you can.
Why would you, though?
Because
just go all curly.
The variety. I kind of like the variety. Wendy's
strips. Is there different spice on the curly versus the regular fry?
Yeah, much different.
More spicy on the curly, right?
I wouldn't call it... spicy, I guess, is a relative term. It has more spice, but I wouldn't call it spicy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the more flavor.
Yeah. Whataburger strips with gravy. Good call. I haven't had those in forever.
Oh, yeah. Whataburger chicken strips are pretty good.
Yeah, the Whataburger chicken strip sandwich is good.
Yes, that's my favorite sandwich there.
Mm-hmm.
DQ steak fingers are awesome with gravy. Agreed. They have underrated tacos, too, for a fast food place.
Yeah, they're Texas tacos. They're not bad.
No, they're solid. They're way better than Jack in the Box.
For sure.
I feel like they're fresher.
Well, I mean, I think everything's fresher than that Jack in the Box taco.
Ketchup plus hot sauce is underrated. So good. And it's only good with fried stuff, though, I've noticed. Like, it's good with chicken strips. It's good with, like, fried shrimp, fried catfish.
Because, I mean, it's cocktail sauce.
Yeah,
essentially,
you kind of make a cocktail sauce.
Just with a little horseradish, and you're in there.
Somebody said Midwestern palate. Just the chicken, no dip. Blanker's moving up to the family name.
Yeah, good.
Blank. I get it.
Yo, Blank, man.
I get it. Sonic used to have the best chicken fried steak sandwich. I never had it there.
They have it. It's not as good as Dairy Queen's.
Really?
Yeah, it's not as juicy. It's kind of dry.
Are y'all watching the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
I'm not watching the complete games.
No.
I've been checking in after Astros baseball and during Astros baseball.
I watched the second half of the last two.
You might be able to watch tonight's game in its entirety before the Astros first pitch.
Yeah, it'll be close. Yeah.
How bad was the U.S. Open?
I don't think it was bad. I think the weather obviously screwed some stuff up late.
There wasn't a marquee name, really.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody wanted. Adam Scott was the best chance. He wasn't a marquee name anymore, but he was the biggest name that was there.
Yeah. I thought that somebody was just going to post a score and let the scores like come back to him. McIntyre almost did. I thought Rahm at four over had a chance for a little bit, like when the leaders were just making the turn. I thought if Scheffler could get to three over, he would have a shot. But Spahn's drive on 17 was clutch.
Oh, my gosh. But also the fact that he came back from, what, five fives to start his round? Where he bad luck and you could have just mailed it in. And the fact that he just kept on coming back to get back into it was fantastic.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the final few holes.
See the because Adam Scott kind of mentioned it. He didn't want to take away from Spahn winning, but he was like borderline unplayable at the end that we should even been playing out there. And someone in the gallery after Spahn hit the chip on 15, I think it was, goes, J.J. Spahn just hit his chip from here, and he stepped down where the divot was, and the minute his foot hit the grass, all the water came up. It's like, man.
I thought that was Sam Burns' shot.
I saw someone tweet it was J.J. Spahn.
I think it was Burns, because Burns was asking for a relief, and they didn't give it to him.
Well, also, because Scheffler also hit one that he hit with a puddle around it that was a spray shot.
Are y'all white gravy or brown gravy kind of guys?
I like brown gravy.
I like both, but prefer brown.
Depends on what I'm having, but mostly cream gravy, white gravy.
Brandon saying DQ is underrated and also how good their tacos are is the most I've ever agreed with him. I don't know if I should be honored or insulted.
I think DQ has made a concerted effort to upgrade all their food in the last couple years.
It's low-key good. Ketchup plus buffalo, sauce from Chick-fil-A. Uncle Barney says it happened on both of those, Spahn's chip and the Burns deal. I didn't see the Spahn chip.
Yep.
Uncle Barney loves golf. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is he an Oakland A or a Sacramento A or a
Major League Baseball head athletic trainer?
Sounds awesome. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is he a Sacramento athletic or a head athletic trainer in baseball? Riveting radio here. That's what you get with the
Breaking
Killer Bees.
New ground.
I have a buddy who's going to the Sacramento A's Astros game tonight. He lived here forever. Peter is his name. Peter Wynn.
Chief.
And
what? Cheap ticket prices?
Yeah. He got like a front row about like parallel with the first base bag, maybe a little deeper than the first base bag, but right where the fence angles out towards the foul line, front row for $35.
Oh, that's great.
Holy.
He's
yeah,
like, do you think
awesome.
I can get a foul ball here? I was like, yeah, you got a shot. Like a bounding ball that comes
for
that
sure.
way.
I mean, only if he has your bucks. Hands.
That's true.
Yeah. What's the Tampa, the Steinbrenner Field only seats like 10.
I thought it was like 8, but maybe 10.
I thought it was like 10.
Or 8, 10.
Is this one same?
I don't know. What ballpark do they play in?
It's Sacramento Bees?
Sutter Health Park. Reinventing health. Let's see. Sutter Health Park. Capacity. Apparently it plays like 14,000.
Okay.
It's not too shabby for minor league.
But I don't think they're drawing well.
Oh, no?
So it's still going to look like the well, Coliseum where there's nobody there. I wonder if they had the drum bangers in right. I hope not. That sounded terrible on TV.
Yeah, they annoyed the hell out of me. Even when the game was basically out of reach, they were still banging the drums.
I'd put it on mute a lot of times. Like
it was annoying.
It would start to grind my gears. All right, Sacramento A or athletic trainers around
head
baseball?
Head athletic trainer around Major League Baseball. All right, number one, Jeremiah Randall. Is he an athletics player or a head athletic trainer for a Major League Baseball team?
Age before beauty.
He is the head athletic trainer for your Houston Astros.
No, Jeremiah Randall's like a co-owner of some health gym spot in the Woodlands. And also the Houston Astros athletic trainer.
You are both correct. He is indeed the Astros head athletic trainer. I was hoping I could sneak one by.
No,
you,
he owns something in the Woodlands.
Oh, does he?
Health and fitness. Yeah.
All right, second one up. Jeff Collins. Athletic trainer or Oakland or Sacramento A? Jeff Collins.
Never
Jeremy?
Heard of Jeff Collins. I'll go head athletic trainer.
I'm going athletic trainer.
You are both correct. He is the athletic trainer. They had one for the Sacramento A's. Oh, I wrong one there. for the Sacramento A's. Next one, Kyle Torgerson. T-O-R-G-E-R-S-O-N. Torgerson.
That sounds like a Sacramento athlete.
I think he's trying to confuse him with Spencer Torkelson. I'm going to go athletic trainer.
He is an athletic trainer for the Seattle Mariners.
Let's go.
So Jeremy is up 1-3-2. Quote, or not quote, guy number four, Willie McIver. M-A-C-I-V-E-R.
Wasn't there a TV show about this guy?
He could make chewing gum and chocolate turn into glue.
You said M-C-K-I-V-E-R?
M-A-C-I-V-E-R. MacIver. MacIver. I know, it runs together.
I think we're in his
it
head.
Runs together.
What position does he play?
That's for you to determine.
I'm going to go athletic trainer.
I'm going to go athletic.
Joel ties it up. He is a catcher for the Sacramento A's.
Or so. Shailene Gallier's up. Actually, she's on the IL.
Yeah, 3-3 after four. All right, number five, Matt Lucero. Athletic trainer or Sacramento A?
Athletic trainer.
I want to say he's a relief pitcher. I'm going to go Sacramento A.
Joel is correct and pulls ahead. He's the head athletic trainer for the Rangers. All right, two more to go. Joel up one. Grant Holman.
It's you, right?
Yeah. I'll go athletic.
I know I should just go along with what you say, but to make it interesting, I will say athletic trainer.
Jeremy has tied it up. Or actually, no, pulled ahead.
He tied it up.
You're right. Sorry, my bad.
I think it's tie.
He is a relief pitcher, though, for the Sacramento A's.
This last one?
Last one.
Game
for all
seven.
The marbles. Rafael Freitas. F-R-E-I-T-A-S.
Athletic trainer.
I don't think that's how you say it.
Freitas?
I'm just messing with you. I don't say anything right.
And I'm Mexica.
I'm going to go with a member of the Sacramento Athletics.
Joel, what was your answer?
I said athletic trainer.
He is the athletic trainer for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
There's a Freitas that lives in Pittsburgh? I don't believe it.
I was hoping that would sound more like a baseball
There's
name.
There's no
but,
way that a Freitas lives in Pittsburgh. I didn't realize that Oakmont had you had to cross the highway to go to the other holes. Did you see that? Like, number one is on one side of the highway, like in a different county. And then I think it's between one and two. You had to walk across a bridge over the highway.
I did see
to
that.
Get to the rest of the course.
There is another course like that, I believe, that they've played a major on, where you actually have to go over a bridge of traffic.
The tournament course at Golf Club of Houston, you had to take the long walk over the bayou. But they used to have carts that would shuttle you.
Right.
I think it was from number one to number two.
It was. Yeah, because otherwise you had to go over the bayou and through all the trees to get to the two tee box.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. It was weird to me that they made them walk. I thought they would have a cart there. It seemed like a long walk.
I guess that's part of pro golf, that you have to walk every part of, once you start the actual.
I don't think that's part of pro golf, because I've again at Golf Course of Houston, Golf Club of Houston, they would cart the players.
They shuttled the players?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they still had to walk.
Maybe it's a USGA thing.
Maybe.
It's a USGA thing. Let us know. 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's get to the car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Texas says, thanks for reminding me of Carl Ravitch with the music. Great point. He is the worst. All right, car wrecks of the day next. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Uh-huh.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. What are your car wrecks of the day? Blinkers.
Caught this one just kind of randomly watching TV last night. They had the Argentinian basketball finals, and they were going through and showing for their top 10 plays that the ball was rebounded on one end of the floor, and one of the players just turned and threw it the length of the floor, and it went in, and they went on and on about how it was a game winner and everything else. And then Ginobili was tweeting, what an unbelievable finish. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe they don't have replay review. And I rewound it, and I realized on the angle that I saw from floor level, the red light around the backboard was off before it ever came close to leaving his hand. And I don't know if they don't have replay review or whatever, but they counted it.
What? So why did they do that?
I don't know. I guess maybe they don't have replay review, but like I saw it from different angles, and I'm like, wait a minute. I just decided on the DVR to rewind and go,
what were you watching?
I was watching SportsCenter, and it was at the end of the top 10 plays.
Oh.
And when I rewound it, I'm like, here's the dude winding up with the ball in his hand, the red light's on the backboard behind him. I'm like, that shouldn't have counted.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It's weird they don't have a review.
Was there audio on it, Brian?
Yeah, you want to hear the call?
Oh, sure.
De Piñero. Otra vez largos problemas, pelota colgada, alcanzó a quedarse con ella y hasta tirar.
¡No!
¡Bárbaro! Señores, un lanzamiento para la historia.
They're not there.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, you can tell they're
calling from a studio or something. Yeah, I didn't know you had audio for the actual call. I just,
why not?
I guess.
Grade the call.
Like a 2?
That's like a 2-3. I hate remotes. I hate remotes with a passion.
Yeah. You just have to do them.
Hate them with a passion. We did too. We did them for the Dynamo. The game went out once.
Yeah, you had I forget who your color guy was then.
Garrett Heinrich, maybe, or Michael
Chabala.
No,
it was before that. Yeah, it was before Garrett. But I remember because you guys would normally call it from the TV in that studio, but it went out, and you guys were both huddled around one computer, like desktop screen, trying to call the game off of that same desktop screen.
It happened with Garrett before too.
We did it. Rockets trip to the second go round to
China.
And so Craig and I were doing it from the bowels of the Toyota Center. And we're like, what if it goes out? Like, what are we going to do? People are listening to the radio call. And thankfully it didn't. But we had a couple delays too where we're like, oh God, if this thing goes out, how are we going to fake and get it to go to the computer and try and do the running score?
I mean, I forgot about COVID. We did almost all the road games on COVID from remotes. Elvin Hayes and I, like in a small room, watching the game.
Where'd you do it from?
It depended on it. Like sometimes Elvin didn't do the game when they were on the road, and there were times I did it at home. But then whenever he was there, we did it from TDECU Stadium, like in one of the small booths.
Yeah, the guys at Toyota Center made sure we had like a really, really big screen TV, and they were getting the direct feed from the NBA. But the feed went down before the first game. We're like, oh God, what do we do?
Yeah, it was not fun. All right, what else you got?
The other one I had was Yankees fans. If you missed it yesterday in Yankee Stadium, they always complain about how other fans are. Their right field bleachers, the Red Sox players were leaving the bullpen, and they threw everything, literally like the kitchen sink at them, and security had to get involved because the players were like trying to go up on the wall, Red Sox players, to get to the fans. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah, they're the worst. Yankee fans are the worst. They got swept, too, by the Red Sox.
They did. And Devers had played a role in it before he got traded.
Unbelievable. I want to nominate. I don't know who to nominate in the Rafael Devers thing. So I'm going to nominate both. I'm going to nominate Rafael Devers for not being a good teammate despite making over $300 million. Oh, we got Bregman. I'm not playing first. I'm going to DA. Oh, no. Cassis went down. I'm not playing first base. I'm unhappy making $300 million. But then the way the Red Sox handled it also is car wreck worthy. Hey, we're going to sign Bregman. Maybe give Devers a little heads up. Hey, you know, maybe trade him in the offseason whenever you're not in season of a playoff race. So I'm nominating the Boston Red Sox. Craig Breslow is a joke. And then Rafael Devers for being a prima donna. So nominate both of those guys. It is funny, too, that Bregman is the reason that Rafael Devers got traded.
And then did I see that Devers has already said he'll play first for the Giants when Chapman's
awesome.
Healthy?
Awesome. I love that.
Wow.
I love that. Is it pretty Bush League? Yeah. But do I love it? Yeah, because I hate the Red Sox. Wyndham Clark for punching the lockers at Oakmont. Come on, man. Be professional.
Now, is that true that he got banned from Oakmont?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Someone was tweeting that he got – they showed pictures and they said
– Yeah, I think it was PGA Tour, but T-U-O-R. That's like the NBA Central account.
Got
I think
it.
You got
– Maybe Central. I got God on that one. I just saw it in passing.
And then also not allowing Sam Burns relief. That was Bush League there. Uncle Barney wants to nominate the USGA. He says the worst bunch of clowns. He says their idiot course setup. Why would you throw short game out is an important skill. So Uncle Barney's feeling some kind of way about the USGA today. Brian, what do you got?
Jacob Milton getting crossed over and injuring his ankle by a home run, thinking he could play it.
He's out 4 weeks because he sprained his ankle playing left field.
He got over like the N1 mixtape.
Like I would say be an athlete, but he's an athlete.
Yeah, he's known for his speed and his ability to play the outfield.
He got a sprained ankle on a home run.
He Yordaned in left
field. That's a total Yordan injury.
Yeah, when he shouldn't have been, should never be in the same conversation defensively as Yordan.
Do we need Jacob Milton rules?
People aren't talking enough about – no, he's not good enough a player. Aren't talking enough about that. They're like, oh, yeah, he sprained his ankle on a home run ball.
Yeah.
Like, do we not understand how silly this is?
Like, it had the equivalent of when Yordan looked like he was slipping on ice in that gap shot a couple years ago, only the ball stayed in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
So weird. He broke his ankle on a ball in left field, on a home run to left field.
Left field at Dyken Park, no less.
Yeah.
If you one thing, it was a big cavernous left field where, you know, you might think the ball might stay in, but it's Dyken.
Remember Springer would always get hurt because he was so reckless in the outfield?
He'd run into the wall, yeah.
This is who Jacob Milton is, I fear.
Yeah, but at Dyken Park with the massive scoreboard where you're not climbing walls like Springer used to?
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying this is who he is. I think he is a crash test dummy, much like George Springer was.
God, Springer, the home run balls he would bring back in Arlington, he had some good
ones. Oh, no, he's a good defender. He's always hurt. Blaine says, I play turd. Rafael Devers had the
apparently
the
not anymore.
I play turd. No, he's playing first.
Short term, he will until Chapman comes back.
Chapman's back, right.
A lot of people are like, would you have traded for Devers if you were the Astros? No. He makes so much money.
I get it. He's good, but he's not that good. Especially because he's a defensive liability and you already have Yordan.
Yeah, that's true. Unless they're taking back Christian Walker and I can play him at first.
Ooh.
But he still makes too much money. Alex wants to nominate Brian. He can't spoke right today.
Yeah, okay. I did mess up the score there in Izzy and Ayer.
Texture says, my car wreck of the day, my job on a Monday. Fair enough. Josh Seabrook, Stephen A. for playing solitaire during game four between Indy and OKC.
Yeah. Good catch.
Not only because he was caught, but also because he lied about it during the timeout and stood on the bald-faced lie. That's true. He said that it was during the timeout, not run a play, but it was.
Yeah, did he try and tweet it? Or then he was later tweeting solitaire hands or something?
So Texture, imagine if Milton had to play with Tails Hill. All right, what's winning here? I go Red Sox, Dever Saga.
That's cool.
All right, that's the winner. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian. He's Blank on Brian. I'll talk to you tomorrow. NBA Finals, Game 5. Coverage begins at the bottom of the hour. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.